You good? Good. Yep. Okay, 5:30, we'll start the order. First up, we have our assessor. She's going to explain the veterans exemption local law update.
Okay, you should have received packets. I'll go over briefly and then answer any questions you may have. Basically, the first informational packet that you got is a listing of the current volunteer firefighter or ambulance worker exemptions that we have in Lysander. There's 32 total. 26 of them are lifetime members that have 20 years or more of service, and six are with certified 5 years of service. The exemption amount total is $96,000 at the $3,000 assessment max each. Doing the math on our most current tax rates from 2023, those 32 people are currently saving $160 and change combined. So they're splitting, those 32 people are splitting that $160. The new law would not have that $3,000 assessment max. It would be a straight 10, up to a 10% exemption. So at 10%, the exemption amount would go up to a little over $500,000, and it would increase to $861.86, everything remaining the same, which would be a dollar increase of a little more than $700. So you have the notes on the math. You have the printouts that show the exemptions and the totals, where those numbers came from, and a listing of actually the exemptions, the people with that exemption. And you actually have a copy of the law that's in our code book presently for those exemptions. What happened in December? This exemption was done piecemeal by county, sometimes two or three counties across the state. Everyone did it under a different section of the law, and they were all a little bit different. The governor thought it was kind of a mishmash, and they wanted to standardize this exemption, so if you offer it, everyone is on the, you know, with a few options, everyone is on the same page. So they passed, she signed into law in December, the law, Chapter 670, which will in 3 years repeal these exemptions. So if you did nothing in three years from December of 2022, when she signed it, 3 years from that date, all of these volunteer firemen and ambulance workers, their exemptions would just go away. They would disappear because they would be repealed. So the option at this point is to update to the new current statewide option, which is what we're looking, you know, discussing tonight. You have a draft of what the county is actually looking at. It is on their agenda for the February 7th meeting, and they plan, I'm assuming, to adopt the new new law into existence. The next list of handwriting gives you Chapter 670, the law, and it tells you what your options are. So you can give up to 10% of the exemption. The county is looking at 10%. You can do between 2 and 5 years of service required before they can they are eligible. And we currently are using the 5 year. The people that we have now are either lifetime members with more than 20 years, 20 or plus years, or 5. But you have the option of 2 to 5. You also have a lifetime exemption of so a firefighter with more than 20. More than 20 years would get that exemption for their lifetime. The second option that goes along with that is to continue the exemption for unremarried spouses of people that already have the exemption that are killed in the line of duty. And then you have the option to continue the exemption for unremarried spouses of members that are deceased that had already had the exemption. Those two options were not in the last legislation, the last law. So those two, the lifetime continue the exemption if you're killed in the line of duty for unremarried spouses, and unremarried spouses of deceased members. Those two are the two new options that are included in that. And then section 2 of that law, which is attached to the notes, says that if nothing is done, the current exemptions are repealed on December 9th of 2025. So that's basically what we're looking at. We would have to do a scheduled public hearing, and because it does require a local law. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yes. Questions?
So I'm a little unclear about it expiring in 2025. If we do something tonight, it won't go away?
If you do something tonight, or you know, the public hearing,
yeah,
and then you pass
tonight,
the local
yeah,
law
right.
The newly improved exemption, the old exemptions as they exist now will be converted to the new exemptions.
Right.
And any new applications that come in after this date, it will apply to the new improved exemption, not the old exemption.
And the new one doesn't expire?
The new one has no sunset date
okay.
at this point in time.
Okay. And this exemption, you know, I am in the dark. So it's for the town tax, and did they also get the exemption for their county tax?
Yes, the county is looking at that. The county currently does offer it at the old style. So, and they're looking on the 7th of February to go to
okay,
the
so
new
you,
one.
Okay, so you're eligible, and the county's going to say yes, and let's assume that we say yes. So you get a reduction in your town tax, your county tax, but not your fire tax, or?
It doesn't apply to special districts. Most
okay.
exemptions do not. So fire protection, services, water, sewer, that kind of thing,
right.
It does not apply. Most exemptions do not apply to any of those services or special
and is,
districts.
Is it the town and the highway tax?
Yes, it
okay.
would be both.
Okay.
And currently, the only school district that I am aware of in the county that have the old style exemption is West Genesee, Baldwinsville, and Cato, and Phoenix, and Jordan Elbridge, which we have here. None of them passed it.
So Beeville schools, they have to do it separate, independent of us.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's correct, because it's all by local option at each level.
Gotcha.
Great.
Anything else?
So right now, at your current estimates, it'd be a $700 difference to us.
Yes.
Is that I'm reading
yes.
right
yes.
now?
The same two exemptions,
then
you
we
know,
have
the
to.
Same assessments and everything remain being equal. Yes.
Right. And if we chose now, if the county doesn't do it and we do it, then they would just get the discount on their town taxes,
yes.
not.
I have every inclination from the county that they intend to approve that.
And do you know if they're doing the two, which one they're doing, the 2 and the 5 years?
They are currently, in your draft, the county is doing the options, where's my sheet here, bear with me. They are doing 10%, because you can do up to 10%, so you know you have a little leeway there. They are doing 10% at 5 years, and they're doing the lifetime with 20 years of service, more than 20 years of service, and they're including the two death benefits, if you will, for unremarried spouses of members that were killed in line of duty or just deceased. They are including all three of those options with a straight 10% at 5 years.
And that's the number you came up with what they had, that was that 700,
yeah.
just so they know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
yeah. Anything else? Nobody?
Okay.
What? Let me.
Yes.
I just, sorry. What would be the easiest for the, because that would rely on the assessor's office figuring all this out every year, correct?
Yeah, we do that. Yes, we do that every year anyway.
Okay.
All three, not the lifetime members. Lifetime members don't have to provide proof. They every year. So all of the lifetime members that we have, basically we have 26 lifetime members. Because they have more than 20 years of service, They are not required to renew annually. Once they apply and we document everything, then their exemption stays on as long as they still own the property. The people with that are not lifetime members actually have to renew every year. And we get the information from the fire departments telling us, you know, are they a member or are they not, verifying whether or not it's 5 years if it's a new one. Okay. So that's something we're doing already. It's just going to have another exemption code. It's going to be covered under a different law, and the options are going to be slightly different.
Okay.
That's all.
Very good. Thanks.
Not too complicated, but what happens if they move? It's just that it goes with them?
Mm-hmm. No. If it's like all exemptions, it belongs to the owner, not the property. So if they move, as long as they're still in the they live in the district that they serve, they can do another application.
Okay.
That would require a new application.
Even if they're a lifetime at some point.
Yes, because we would have to have an original exemption application on file, even if they were a lifetime member, if they had the situation where they moved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Great.
No. Thank you, Teresa.
No problem.
Okay.
And I plan to be, if you set the public hearing at the next board meeting out, I will be there for questions and answers and all of that. Okay?
So the second one, Dina, that's the thing Al had to do, right?
Oh, the work session, yeah.
He went to
go grab
know.
Him.
What?
Want me to go grab him?
He's yeah. Back. Yeah, I don't know where. He was here. Yeah, that's the
Seeker. So
Mills.
The Klopp.
The Klopp.
But I do have a question about Mills. Yeah. So
okay.
When we get a. We
can okay. So the Klopp. Just an overview of what this is. So the CLUP is considered a Type 1 action. It is a. Because it encompasses the whole area of the town. It's considered a type 1 action. It has to go through a coordinated review process. It has to have the full EAF, which is the long form. It's 18 pages. Because it's a local law, you only have to complete Section C of it, and then the rest of it doesn't apply. But that has to be included with a coordinated review letter when it goes out. No further action other than the resolution that's on the agenda this evening for the full EAF. Before we do the public hearing, we'll go through part two of the EAF, and like we always do in work session, and then pass a negative declaration before we open the public hearing. You want to go with the Mills Road thing now? Or?
Well, so what do we have to do?
Do we have to?
Tonight we just got to pass the motion tonight. But okay. That full EAF that I emailed you and
Dean
this afternoon has to be included with the coordinator review letter that goes out to all the agencies.
But it doesn't have to be filled out.
I already filled it out.
Oh, you filled. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought we had to do it tonight.
No, I already filled
okay.
it out.
Okay. All right.
You just got to sign it, right?
Yeah, you just have to sign the back page.
Okay.
So sign that back page that you have and then give it back to me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's up here. All right.
Yeah,
okay, I thought we had to.
No, that's part
okay.
two. That's after. That comes after the
okay.
interview.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So, Al, my question is on this document in the matter of the state environmental quality review for Mills Road.
Yep.
In this document here, this line has me confused because it says not requiring seeker review, but then we have two.
We do, and it's so, because of the grant funding that's involved.
So under state environmental quality review, nothing else is required. Under federal environmental quality review, which the Onondaga County Community Development Agency does for us, environmental quality is required.
So this is for?
This is.
These two are
yes.
for, but this line stays in this document?
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
I'm good?
Yep. Because that's for the state environmental, that document is for the state environmental quality review that gets filed with the DEC. Got it?
Got it.
All right.
Thank you, Al.
Okay, anything else on that? All right, we'll do the ARPA funding for mental health.
I think that was mine, but
yeah.
We have Mr. Helfrich here. I want to talk about putting on an agenda, a motion to give Liberty Resource Clinic $12,500 of ARPA money, which is roughly around 0.0065% of the entire money that we received for mental health.
Yeah, quick update on that. You probably didn't see my email. I heard back from Joe DeBard a couple hours ago. I think in light of current events that are happening in town, and this is mental health has become a significant issue. It already is an issue. It's getting a little more attention. The school is now going to fund additional mental health clinics, and they're also going to they're gonna come and need training as well, mental health training for the kids. So the need right now for that ARPA funding. Is not necessary since the school is going to cover the cost of the new clinic. So from that perspective, I do appreciate all the hard work and review here and dedication to see if we can't make something happen. Frankly, it's a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a known issue. Things aren't going to get better anytime soon. And I will say with the school district, I think we're fortunate enough to have a good school district that's proactive in these situations. They are servicing over 300 kids right now.
Wow.
With mental health services through Liberty. But it wasn't enough. They have another 30 kids on a 6-month waiting list and probably even more. Given that the trauma some of these kids went through with the murder of one of their students, so I think we're fortunate to be living in the school district we're living in, because I think people are doing other than some other issues in the board, I think they're doing a good job with this issue. So I'm happy to hear that they are going to move forward and get that additional mental health clinic.
That's good news. Good news. Yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
Good to hear.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the update.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know about that sooner. When he invited Joe, I got in touch with him, and he got back in touch with me. He would come tonight as well.
Dr. Joe.
We got to stay on top of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for your work.
Yeah, thank
keeping
you.
Us informed. It's great.
And
I'm glad
input.
That the school's moving forward with.
That's really good news.
It's needed.
It's definitely needed.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Anything else on this? No.
No.
Giovanni Foods.
Yeah. I think we saw the emails that we got. And what Quinn had sent back to us from ESD, I really think without having anything signed from the town on a sewer district that was 30, on a sewer line that's 30 years old, it almost makes me wonder, was that an error or did somebody know there was an issue 30 years ago and that's why the town never signed off on it? And I think we should have a sit down with Empire State Development Corp and try to get them to have some ownership of this issue before we spend town, ARPA funds on fixing the problem.
Well, I think we came to the conclusion we're not going to spend ARPA funds on it because it's not, it's a public, or it's a private.
Well, right now, yeah.
Private entity, there's no.
Yeah, so something happened 30 years ago, like you said. I don't know if we'll ever know exactly what happened, but instead of that easement getting transferred to the town, it was transferred to the owner of the Giovanni parcel rather than it becoming a town sewer like you would traditionally have with a sewer main that services multiple parcels. So either something went wrong during the installation, which is, or testing, which is certainly a possibility. But something is out of the ordinary from what was standard operating procedure even 30 years ago. And I have yet to find any documentation of anything on it.
Same time as the West Phoenix thing 30 years ago. So something was going on and people weren't paying attention is what.
I mean, that, and that even predates Barton and LaJuda signing on
as
a town engineer. So I don't even know who they were. Maybe it boils down to they didn't have anybody that was doing engineering work at the time. Maybe there was a gap in engineering services. I don't know. But something is definitely doesn't match up with what it was standard operating procedure, has been standard operating procedure for quite some time.
The bottom line is it's a private sewer, it's private property, we don't have any impact. There's no easement, that's between them and the ESDC.
At this point in time,
yes.
I mean, if we can lobby and help get some funding through ESDC to fix the problem, I think that'd be a great thing, and I think it'd be appreciated by Giovanni. Once the problem's fixed, I do think because that sewer serves multiple parcels, the town should take dedication of it. There's no reason to have a private sewer main that serves multiple parcels. It's actually against the county sanitary code. So, you know, once there is an active, if that ends up being repaired and fixed, it is a piece of sewer that the town board should consider taking dedication of because ultimately it will serve those, you know, three parcels that are, or two parcels and Giovanni Foods that are south, going south and then cross the railroad tracks into the sewer main that serves Clay.
But something would have to be done to remediate the issue.
Problem, correct.
And then they would have to figure out, okay.
Testing process, and we would have to witness the testing and make sure that it's installed correctly, and yes.
Yeah, I mean, no one's saying we wouldn't do that, but Giovanni and ESDC has some work to do on this before we do anything with it.
Correct.
Yeah, and as far as throwing ARPA money on it, that's out the window.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a...
And I had that conversation with Lou. Yeah.
Yeah, Lou's a good guy.
He understood. I said, look,
if it was,
this is out of our hands now.
Yeah, if it was not in any easement, which is what was, you know, what we showed when Steve did the as-built map for us, it would have been appropriate to try to find some way to help them and fix that problem because it really looked like an error on the town's part in that we didn't actually take an easement or something that we were supposed to 30 years ago. But now it appears that there was a problem.
ESDC's got to take some responsibility
for
that too. I mean, you got the state involved and the town involved. I mean, there's some errors all the way across the board.
Absolutely.
And then Giovanni as well. I mean,
they were there. I mean, they bought
Whoever was there. Whoever was there,
I mean. Initially specialized packaging.
Yes, SPN.
Yeah.
Whoever was there, I mean, between all three entities, I mean, they got attorneys too. I mean, it's just a cluster all the way across.
Oh, it is. It's a mess. Yeah. I mean, and it's not, to date, I haven't found any other place in the corporate park where we've got infrastructure like that.
Yeah.
I don't foresee finding anything like that anyplace else. Very hopeful.
Well, we're uncovering a lot of stuff, so we'll see.
Just never know.
Good.
Yeah.
Is the issue on Giovanni's property currently, or is it?
No, it's off their it's off their property, but it's in an easement that they control.
Oh.
So they own it. So it's the issue is off their property, but it's in their easement. crossing the private property to the south, but it's in an easement that they control.
Right.
So, I mean, at this point in time, it really is, I mean, I do think that ESDC, I mean, ESDC's obviously got funding. I mean, they're a huge state agency that gives out millions and millions of dollars worth of grants every year. Shell out a couple hundred grand to fix this problem for a tenant in the industrial park that is an economic driver to the community.
Yeah, that's something that Tony and I mean, we were going to talk to the attorney anyway from the state, and then we'll talk to him about this to see if we can come up, you know, with a resolution that's, you know, doesn't kill everybody with the thing.
Yeah. Behooves ESD to chip in because they've got two other parcels that they can sell.
Right.
And if they
you're
sell
not going to sell until that's fixed.
Right.
Well, they already sold the one.
They already sold one of them.
Yeah, so they're going to have to do something with it because the one right next to Giovanni's is sold.
Yep.
And they sold it with sewer hookup. They can't sell it without. They're not going to put in a septic in there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, I just, our previous discussion at some point in December was we were thinking of taking dedication and then remediating the issue, and I just didn't want to, want to move forward with that. I think Empire State, you know, ESD has responsibility here. Now, when a project like that gets built, who builds that infrastructure? Does the developer who's building the building?
Typically, it depends. So the old section of the corporate park, ESDC was actually paying a separate contractor to build infrastructure.
Okay.
So that piece of the corporate park was being handled like all the other development in Radisson, the later development in Radisson, where the developers paid to construct the infrastructure and then dedicated it back to the town. That changed sometime early to mid-80s, like 85, 84, someplace in there. That transition happened, and I'm not sure what caused that, if ESDC just didn't have the funding that they previously had for Radisson or if something else happened, but you know, they started putting the burden of installing the infrastructure to serve these parcels on the developers.
Okay, we're good. I'm glad to hear, and you know, hopefully they get it fixed between the two of them. Excellent.
Club provisions?
Yeah, I just put it on there because Councilor Gerasi had asked, you know, what's our process? Were we going to meet and discuss issues? Because Bob said he had notes that he had points that he wanted to discuss, and I didn't know if we were each going to bring our issues or if we were going to meet with the planning and zoning and bring it all together, or if we were going to meet as a board, come up with what we have, and then those boards. I wasn't sure of the process.
Well, it's got to go to county planning and our ZBA and our planning. And I think once it goes to them, I think we ought to take a look at what their recommendations are, and then we can have those discussions. They know more about it than I know. So
I'm sure the planning board and ZBA would welcome town board members to, they'll have a joint meeting. So they'll have a special meeting with the planning board and ZBA both present to discuss and review this. And I'm sure they would love to or appreciate having a town board member to attend just so they, you know.
So county planning and zoning?
No. Oh. Town planning and zoning will have a joint meeting to meet together. I'm sure they would love to, you know, involve the town board in that discussion. So.
Well, I'll have a conversation with Jack and see.
Yeah, Karen, I know, was working out trying to figure when she could get a quorum as ZBA members and planning board members for a special meeting. So,
or she said we could do it at a March 9th planning board meeting.
Yeah.
And I thought March 9th might be a good date to, you know, people have enough time to review the club.
Yeah. So that's, I know the last time we did this, a couple of town board members came to that meeting just to hear what was said and have input and join in the discussion, quite frankly. So.
Right. Now, that happens before we send it off to county.
No,
right?
It'll go to everybody at the same time. Okay. Yeah, it goes to everybody at the same time. and you know, it's not adopted until everybody does a review, and then the town board has an opportunity to make revisions based on everybody else's review, and then you pass a local law to actually do a public hearing and then pass a local law to actually adopt it.
Make any changes that we might want to make.
Yep.
And then it, does it have to go back to county after
no, it does
the changes?
Not.
Okay. They make their suggestions and yep. That's it.
I don't, I mean, quite honestly, the changes that we've made in this are not monumental. I mean, this isn't a broad stroke change in direction. This is better defining some things within the CLUP. The biggest change is adding the renewable energy opportunity section, which really, you know, we talk about limiting solar development on prime agricultural soils. After this last solar project that came in on 60 Road, one of the things I'm going to suggest is, hey, we shouldn't be cutting down mature forests to put in solar energy systems. You know, that's something that the board should consider adding to that renewable energy opportunity section of CLUP.
Tony, weren't you also looking into about solar farms that want to go in that the town would charge them a per parcel fee on top of that as well, too?
Yeah, but that
wouldn't go in.
No, I know that's separate. Yeah, that's separate. But
yeah,
just,
we talked about that. We
yeah.
I got a little more information on that from talking to the town of, not colony. Town
yeah, out there in that, yeah.
So since they've implemented that, I mean, they also have an overlay, so they did it as part of an overlay, and they only allow solar development within 2 miles of the substation, and they have one substation in the town. Since they implemented that fee and put the overlay in place so that you can only have solar development within 2 miles of the substation, they haven't had any applicants. So that's
it worked.
If that's the way you look
somewhat
at it.
Of a deterrent.
Yes, and I don't think it's the fee so much as the substation.
Station 2 miles in
a densely populated portion or area of the town. Not a lot of room to develop solar if you're, you know, you're surrounded by houses, I guess.
Right.
So that, I think that is more of a big. I don't think the fee. I mean, these solar companies aren't going to blink an eye if they got to spend an extra $40,000, $50,000, whatever, to put one of these in.
I don't know. The conversations we have with them, they cry a lot about every fee.
Oh,
I mean, we talked the one on where's the one we it's the one on Church Road.
Yeah.
I mean, that fee was less than $40,000. They were whining like a little crybaby.
I mean, that's just good negotiation. I mean, that's
well, we'll have negotions with them.
Yeah, they got the money. There's no question. They have the money. These
once they're in, they don't provide anything to the town.
Well, if you get that community solar
discount,
10% discount if you sign up by PowerPoint.
And how many people sign up?
I think that one on Church Road, there's not capacity left for additional people to sign up.
Really?
So people signed up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they have to offer a certain percentage, right?
Yeah. So people have signed up. I mean, it's
is that running?
Not yet. No, they don't have a CO. Mm-hmm.
It's built, but it's not.
Built, yeah, not up and running yet.
Interesting article today in the paper, the solar, or not the solar, the wind.
Yeah.
The biggest company, I think Siemens, is the biggest company in the country. They lost $1 billion last year. So they're going back to the government. They need subsidies. And I guess one of the problems is connecting with the utilities. They're getting, I think, pushback or whatever. It wasn't clear in the article. But they lost, it was $970 million they lost in 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta get the power somewhere.
So the CHA is working on with that big wind farm project in Lowellville.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what the interconnect costs are. I mean, they got miles, I mean, literally miles of duct bank in the ground to connect back to the substation. Like,
right.
Upwards of 17 miles of duct bank just to connect these windmills back into the substation.
I think it's the connection into the
grid. Yeah, the internet connection
grid
is
killing.
So can we just go back to our CLUP? I have 6 pages of notes that I don't think can be discussed at a work session or a town board meeting that I would like to see some consideration of. I mean, there's nothing wholesale changes that I'm suggesting in the, and I thought it was a terrific document, but they meant something enough to me that I took the time to write this document, which I'm more than happy to share with any of yous. But if, you know, and I'm more than happy, I think, to wait to hear what planning and ZBA has to say. I'm not gonna, I'm gonna guess that county planning is gonna say this looks great. Before we discuss this, but I would suggest some sort of special committee or anybody that wants to, or just delegate me to incorporate these words, and I can do it with highlighting it and incorporating some of these questions. But I'd like you to review them. But I'm not going to vote for the CLUP as it is, because I think some of these things have to be considered.
Why don't we forward that, you know, to everybody, including Al and...
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, do you want the planning board to see that before
yeah.
they...
Yeah, meet? And I gave, yeah. just for your note, for your benefit, I gave it to Jack already.
Oh, okay.
So,
and the ZBA too.
Because they might address
yeah,
your concerns.
That's what I'm thinking. They may, and you know, and I mean, don't laugh at me, but some of them are grammatical too. I mean, they're not, right. some of them are not really all that significant, but some of them are. So Jack, but I'm more than, why don't I do that? I'll email each of you with this
yeah.
and then take a look at it and then we'll go from there.
Send it to Jack, the ZBA.
Yep.
I don't think we need to send it to county planning.
No.
Because
no,
they
just,
get,
just
and then.
Karen and let Karen distribute it. To,
fine.
To,
but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm fine having a separate meeting after zoning and planning look at it and we can sit down and.
Okay.
Go through it.
That's thank you so much. That's
doesn't
perfect.
Matter to me.
Okay, great.
We can it's do a, that
it's,
or,
it's an important document. A lot of time's gone into it over the last 10 years.
We ought to, you know, make sure that we're. I plan on going to the meeting they have with the ZBA and the planning,
which hasn't been set yet, right?
We don't know that. So that would be a good time for you to go.
I think she was going to make sure they.
Well, they thinking about it, but we haven't received an email.
Yeah, there's no formal meeting set,
but I would like a digital copy.
You'll get one.
Thanks.
I'll send it to Karen, but I'll also send you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
The aqua permits.
I think I just took care of that for Ken. So basically, the document that Ken has to sign is essentially Aqua's version of a right-of-way work permit for the connection. Some towns don't do right-of-way work permits, so this is their CYA when they're digging in the right-of-way to make a connection that they're good with the highway superintendent. Typically, the highway superintendent doesn't sign those until after the town board approves the district extension, which you have on the agenda tonight for River Grove.
Mm-hmm.
We held off on the Longview one. They made some progress on their stop work order issue, so once they get their escrow account out of arrears, the town board would be in a position to sign off on the aqua permit for Longview as well. I think we're good on that one. And that's just, I think this is the first one we've done since kind of done from a water standpoint.
So, are you all squared away with the process and what
right.
you need to do and everything?
Yep, once the motion is passed, that decides it still has actually town board members.
Oh, you got the wrong one there.
That's the wrong one.
Yeah.
Two of these got one says my copy and one says it's right down here.
Oh, this one doesn't have work in a public right-of-way, that's why. The ones that have work in a public right-of-way, this one is the one that would normally come with this. The roads are private in River Grove, so you didn't get one on that one.
So if it's a private road, does he have to sign off on it?
Doesn't on that one, no.
Okay.
This is, he got one for Longview, so this is the one that you would sign, Ken.
When it comes time to do that.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So he'll hold that until we approve it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
What else?
Correct. Does anybody else have anything?
Oh, yeah.
Ken's, I know he's talking with Al, he's got the millings and he also has like an open ditch. I believe we were talking at our highway committee meeting. I was telling him that you have your millings policy and your ditch openings.
Yeah, we have millings pretty well locked down with terminology for all the excess or surplus that we may generate, whether it be digging a ditch or fixing a pothole. It's just a matter of me getting it all taped up nice and sent to you. I haven't heard mention from the board the open ditch policy. We have it's called the open ditch policy, and it is a pay scale of work that the town will do to, whether it's residents or developers, for their culverts. It's quite an old, I don't know how old it is, other than the fact that some of the costs on it, for the stone, for example, trying to find it, it has a, so it has a whole chart on how much you would pay per foot, and it includes the stone, the labor, everything. So now, I'm not sure how old this is, but I do know that I went through 2 weeks ago and checked the prices from then to now, and the average was about 65% from that to now increase. So I guess what we need to do is decide how much we want to change the open
ditch. It's an old ditch if you want to pass it. Like that.
Yeah.
Just so you guys can see what he's talking about. It's like a ditch or a driveway policy of what you charge for the piping.
Right. And we, you know, I mean, this is, we offer the service, and sometimes they'll have us do it, other times they'll have, you know, a separate contractor take care of it. So I haven't got those numbers down. I just, you know, I need to find out what we think is going to be acceptable. Like I said, all I did was the cost of the pipe and stone. So I haven't done the work for the fuel labor or the fuel to see where exactly these numbers will land. I should have that next meeting. And then that takes care of the surplus, takes care of our open ditch, and I know what to do with the water city, so. But I'll get this typed out, sent to the board, you know, so I'll send it to you guys maybe tomorrow, and maybe Gene knows how old it is, I don't know. But the numbers in here, it's, you know.
I think that might have been Bruce Reeves.
It's, yeah, so I'd like to bring it to the board and update it so that we can, you know, sell off the service.
Make sure you send it to Tony too, him review it. If it's going to be a policy, I want him to take a look at it. Yep. Do we do it on private property?
No, this would be in the right
of way. It's in the right
way. Oh, in the right of way?
It would be like a culvert in the right of way.
Yeah, it's okay. Like a pipe in a driveway. Usually it's a pipe in a driveway.
For driveways.
Yep. And I know it was a few years back. I know we had a discussion, I think it was with previous board, about whose responsibility if it collapsed. You know, would the town replace it for free? And I think that's something we'll probably have to address with that, of, you know, if we put it in or if...
There's no warranty. You got to put a warranty clause in there. It's only good for X amount of years, so that way they can't come back in 10 years and say, well, you need to replace it.
Right.
Well, the other issue that comes up, if somebody privately does it, you know, is it's not the town spec. And they might put metal in there that collapses, and I just don't know. Then it becomes our problem because now it's holding water back in.
They got to get a permit.
I still go over through the permit.
You got to get a permit.
Yeah, I have to sign off on it, and you know, once it's I take a look at everything that they're asking, and then, you know, I check off on the final product as well.
And the other part of driveways, I know we had talked about planning board, and Al had suggested, you know, when developers approved for properties to build houses, they move the driveways. Now, could we put a clause in where per highway approval?
The easiest way to do that, we already have the clause for a driveway permit in the building permit application piece. I think we can handle driveways and the grading property. We all have right through our just a slight modification to our building permit application. It's as simple as that. It really is. It's not. It doesn't even require action of the town board. You can have the ZBA or the code enforcement officer add literally two sentences to the building permit application and hand every home builder that comes in that's building a new house a driveway permit application and make them pay the fee and review where that driveway is being put, so we don't have driveways being put on top of catch basin frame grates, so we don't have driveways being put over water curb stops. This is all common sense stuff that a lot of other municipalities require as part of the building permit process. They even do it in Van Buren.
The driveways. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, Van Buren has started doing this as well. They do this in Clay. This is a pretty common occurrence. Yeah, the developers are going to complain.
What are they going to complain about?
Because it's going to cost them a couple dollars.
Why is it going to cost them more?
Well, because they're going to have to pay the driveway permit fee, yeah. And then they're going to actually have to have somebody draw a grading plan.
Right. But we don't, and they, somebody building a house doesn't get to choose, depending on where basins are and stuff, if their driveway's on this side or that side.
Yeah.
But that's normally determined by utilities, too, though.
Well, that's the problem, is the developers don't care where the utilities are. They'll put the driveway wherever the home builder wants it, because that's what their customer wants.
Yeah, what we'll have to do is get Tim in here as well, so maybe...
I'll mark up our current permit with the language. And we can go over it with Tim, you and I even.
Yeah.
Just say,
I think we need to do something because people are going to start knocking on doors and eventually, big developments are on the horizon and it needs to be addressed.
No, big developments at a higher density. And a higher density makes it even more important.
Yeah.
It really does. It makes it even more important.
Well, we're not getting them unless they get by the planning board and. Right now, where are they going to go? We got two on the horizon, that's it.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot in Salina, Clay, and Cicero, but I don't think that we have the type of land that they want or our codes.
Yeah, we're limited to the incentive zoning overlay parcels from development
standpoint. Other than if the governor and goes through with that overriding the.
I read that. That's all she's targeting. That if you read that actual legislation that's proposed,
I did.
And it's all for Long Island, in within a half mile of the commuter rail stations.
No, what they did was they didn't allow it before. Now it's allowing it, but it does allow them to override town planning boards and ZBAs in the whole state. So here's the problem that we have upstate here. If they come in and say we decide that we don't want a high-rise apartment building on the corner over here at Willett Parkway and 31, they not only can they override the planning in the ZBA, there's no they eliminated the traffic study in there as well. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, they eliminated the traffic. That's the biggest thing. If we get complaints, what's the first thing that people talk about? Oh, traffic's going to be high. We don't have a traffic problem now, but if they go through with that and they eliminate that traffic study, that's not good for any municipality. And I can tell you, every town supervisor and all the county executives are all from Buffalo all the way down. Are all up in arms about this thing because that's exactly what could happen. They come in and the next thing you know, they're telling our town or some other town what they want in there. So it's not good for our town. I don't agree with what you're saying. And I have read it and I've had a lot of discussions and it's a big thing with the associations of town. Associations of towns don't like it.
The targeted area is for towns on Long Island that don't allow high density.
How do you know that?
Well, that's
how do you know that?
But the way the law is written, it can be applied.
Yes, and Kevin's right. But we have a spot where you can do high density development in incentive zoning overlays. What those towns on Long Island have done is they are only allowing single family housing for the entire town.
Yeah, no,
they've essentially boxed out high density development, which gives the state, with the way that law reads, gives the state the ability to come in and override it. Well, because we have actually designated areas where we can have higher density development, i.e. our incentive zoning overlay, I don't, and Tony would have to read it and review it as well, because we actually have those areas designated already, I don't believe the state would be able to come in and override us. Because we've done what we're supposed to do, and we've identified areas where you can do high density development.
But there's a criteria, go ahead.
I just said, Al, any blanket policy like the one that I read, this particular one, you may feel that it's targeting a certain section of the state, but it's covering the whole state. So to me, I don't like it. It scares me because I don't want anybody from Albany deciding what we can do here in a town of Lysander, whether they're targeting another part of the state or not. It's not the right thing to do. I don't want anybody overriding our planning board, our ZBA, this town board. I don't want anybody overriding any of our...
The way it actually reads, though, is they can only override if your zoning is set up so you can't have any high-density development. Our zoning isn't set up that way.
No. There's also another component. You have to meet specific criteria over the next 3, 5, I can't remember how many years, but you have to... That has to be a continual thing over the course of years.
If you're denying it, yes. If you're, that's the way it reads. I read it.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're denying the growth.
Well, nobody. No. I mean, if someone comes in and you approve it, I mean, then there isn't an issue. This is only when you get denied by the ZBA or planning board.
Correct. And in our instance, we don't have people beating down our doors to come in and develop right now.
That's today. This is all in anticipation. What are they going to do with those 45,000 people down in New York City? They're getting all these people in an influx coming into the state. They don't have any place to put them. Where are they going to push them? So now all of a sudden they're looking at high density, low income housing into areas that may not be conducive to that. For instance, our area does not, if you're looking at a city area, even Long Island, they have mass transit. They have a rail service, they have buses, they have all kinds of mass transit. We don't have any of that.
No,
but that wouldn't stop them from putting it out here in this area if they felt like they wanted to do that. And it just isn't conducive to our community. It'd be, it just doesn't represent the character of the community, but that's what they want to do. They want to tell you what the character of the community is. And this isn't just me thinking like this or anybody else on this board. This is statewide. This is all the town super, I mean, we are all in, and this isn't just a Republican or Democrat thing or conservative. This is everybody. Everybody agrees with this, that they're coming in and Big Brother's coming in and going to tell you what you're going to do. It's not good for anybody in the state, including us.
This law was adopted?
No. Pardon me?
No, not yet.
It
might die before it even gets...
It could, because there's a lot of pushback from everybody, but it Rachel May, who's now our senator, she's the one who proposed it, and then it was on the State of the State. The governor's pushing it hard as well. But they're getting a lot of pushback with it, so it may die, but... You know, we got to be prepared for it. So,
and to your point, Al, you're probably right. We have areas in the town, but we shouldn't have to go to court to prove to the state, which would in essence
that could happen.
And I think that's ridiculous that you should have to go to court to prove.
And that's the other component. If we go to court and we lose, we pay everybody's court fees.
Right.
I mean, now they're just spanking you. So what they're doing is they're threatening you with the court costs.
that if we go in, now we got to pay the court fees. Now, for if you go down in Long Island, that could be huge for a community. It could be big for us. I mean, that is not, they're overriding home rule. That's what they want to do. They, you know, home rule has been well established, and now what they want to do is take that away. Everything comes down from Albany, and we're going to tell you what we're going to do, because they're doing such a good job in the rest of the state.
And they're trying to generalize it by not looking like they're picking on here.
It's the second joke you told.
Feeling good today.
Well, you know, not to belabor it, but this there couldn't be anything more wrong with this approach, and it's a matter of principle as much as it is anything else. And the words have been spoken up on the dais here. This is planning decisions ought to be made locally, and certainly not by people who we don't even know in Albany telling us how they think our town should, in this case, our town should be laid out and be built up. So, and I thought, Bob, we were going to talk about, and I hope we can at some point, either tonight or the next board meeting, authorize you to send a letter.
Tony and I were talking about it. I was going to put that on there, but okay. The Associations of Towns is sending a letter, and then what we're working with them and Town of Van Buren and the attorneys to get something together, and I'll have something for the next meeting.
Van Buren's not going to do it until next month either.
Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, and the fact is, there is a Senate bill. It was in the governor's state of the state address. I mean, she wants to do this.
Isn't something that's, there's a lot of bills that never go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, this one is not going to die. I mean, they're going to keep pushing this. I mean, this bill might not get out of committee, but there's going to, you know, they need to be told this is not acceptable in New York State.
So I was drafting something up, but you know, with everybody else is looking to, Van Buren's looking to do a resolution. Clay now, they heard we and Van Buren was doing it, so they said, well, let's take a look at it, and collectively we're going to try and put something together and maybe do it countywide.
Good.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, we'll call the work session closed at 6:27.
3 minutes.
Yeah.